That sound as we sing. Look to the Lord in prayer and ask for his help and blessing, and that the Lord would draw near even to our meeting in our hearts this evening. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal Father in heaven, we gather afresh before thee tonight, and we come in and through the Saviour's precious and worthy name, through the name of him who loved us, who gave himself for us upon the cross of Calvary. And O God, we thank thee tonight for that finished work. We praise thee for the perfect righteousness of Christ, who did no sin, who knew no sin. Yet, O God, we thank thee that he became our sin bearer. Thy word says that he bare our sin in his own body to the tree. And Father, we thank thee that on that cross he cried out, "It is finished." We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for his sacrifice and for the bleeding wounds of Christ.
And we rejoice, O God, tonight as thy people in the precious blood of Christ that cleanseth us from all our sins. And O God, we thank thee that we have been purchased and redeemed as thy people by the blood of the Lamb, not by corruptible things as silver and gold and from the vain traditions of men. But O God, we thank that Christ came in the fullness of thy time, in accordance, O God, with thy great plan and purpose of redemption. Father, we thank thee that he loved us and he went to the cross. He gave himself a ransom for us and for the many. And Father, we thank thee that he rose again, triumphant from the grave, that he defeated the power of death and sin and hell, and that he is alive forevermore. And we rejoice, O God, tonight as thy people, that Christ is our great high priest in heaven, praying for us, interceding for us at the Father's right hand. And, O God, we come to thee tonight on no merit of our own, but we come to thee tonight pleading the merits of Christ, his precious blood, his perfect righteousness. And truly, Lord, we can say with the hymn writer tonight as thy people, that our hope is built in nothing less than Jesus, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And Father, we thank thee that we are accepted in the beloved. And Father, we thank thee for every token of thy love, thy favor, and thy grace and thy kindness that thou hast showered upon us as the people of God. We thank thee for the words of this hymn that we've been singing, how we can sing about thy love toward us, which is an everlasting love, an unchanging love, an undeserving love. Yet, O God, we realize that our love for thee often waxes and wanes. Yet, Lord, our prayer would be that even tonight, that thou would increase our love for thee. Lord, you said in thy word that one of the marks of the end times is that the love of many will wax cold. And Lord, may it not be so with us, but Lord, may our hearts be filled afresh with that flame of love for Christ and for the things of God and for the cause of the Lord. We thank thee for all who've been able to gather here this evening. Bless every head bowed in thy presence, O God. Meet the need of every heart, of every home, of every family, Lord, that is represented. Bless our homes and our families where there are particular needs. We pray that thou would step in at this time and meet that need. We pray for loved ones tonight who are ill or sick or led aside, that thou would lay on thy healing hand upon them. We pray for loved ones tonight who are unsaved out of Christ. Lord, do speak to them and draw them into the fold of God and meet their needs. And help us, Lord, as your people in these days in which we live, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of thy might. Remember, Lord, those that cannot be with us tonight because of age or sickness or infirmity or other works of necessity or mercy that prevents them from coming to the house of God. I pray that thou wilt bless them, that thou, Lord, will minister to them by the grace and by the power of God divine. We think of those also who may be listening in online tonight. We thank thee, O God, that they have joined with us, and wherever they are tonight, whoever they are, draw near, we pray, by the Spirit of God, speak to them through thy word and through thy truth tonight, and meet them, O God, at the very point of their need. We thank thee for thy blessing upon the services here during our absence and holiday season, and those that brought your word, and all who gathered in week by week to hear thy word. And we pray that that word would live on and bring forth much fruit to the glory of thy name. We thank thee also, Lord, for thy blessing upon the children's mission in McGuire's Bridge. And we pray that in young lives and will bring forth much fruit, even unto salvation and to godliness in the ways of the Lord. Do us good now, we pray. Bless our land tonight, O God. Remember other prayer meetings on at this time, and gospel missions and special endeavors, O God. Wherever thy word is faithfully preached and proclaimed tonight right across our land, north and south of the border, Lord, bless it. And in these days in which we live, days of ungodliness and rebellion against the things of God, we pray that when the enemy has come in like a flood, that thou wilt lift up a standard and that thou wilt revive thy work again, even, Lord, in the midst of the years. Bless us now, we pray, shelter our meeting over and around with the precious blood. Cleanse our hearts afresh from every sin and stain, we pray. Outpour thy Spirit upon us as we gather around thy word. And Lord, as we would seek thy face in prayer, give help. Give that enablement that comes from God to lay hold upon thee, O God, as it were, with the hand of faith. And Lord, grant us a real sense of your presence tonight. It is thy presence that makes the feast. And Lord, may we go away quickened, blessed, and encouraged, knowing, Lord, that we've met with thee, and knowing the blessing of the Lord in our hearts, that blessing that maketh rich, that addeth no sorrow thereto. Here in heaven, thy dwelling place, and answer prayer, for we ask these things for thy name's sake and for thine honour and glory. Amen. I'm going to turn tonight, please, in God's word to the book of James, James chapter number 4, over just to the latter part of the New Testament, James chapter number 4, reading from verse 1 of the chapter, going down to the end of the verse number 10. Welcome all tonight in the Lord's name. It's good to see each one gathered along this evening. And our prayer is the Lord will bless you tonight around God's word and around the throne of grace and prayer. Remember the meetings in the Lord's day. Lord's day morning, 12 noon, the evening gospel service at 7. And in the will of the Lord, we'll belong to bring God's word, and then the times of prayer beforehand as well. Pray for the meetings and plan to join with us and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. We thank you also for your prayers during our absence in the holiday season. We certainly had a blessed time. It's nice to be back as well to minister again the word of the Lord. James chapter 4 and the verse number 1. Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith unto thee, in the Scripture that dwelleth on us, lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 10, and may the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. The little text of Scripture I want us just to consider before we get down to prayer. And the opening words there of verse 8 of the chapter, where it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And this verse here before us really contains a great promise for God's people. And the promise here is of the Lord drawing near to his people. It says, or he will draw nigh to you. And no doubt the experience of this promise has brought great joy, great comfort, great consolation and encouragement to countless numbers of God's people down throughout the ages of time. Knowing the reality and the blessing of this great promise in his own life, the psalmist David could say, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Realizing also the value of the presence and the blessing of the Lord's presence in his own life. Job of old, he made the cry, oh, that I knew also the reality of this great blessing in his own life and the life of others. Paul, praying for the church at Ephesus, he prayed that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. He was praying that they would know and be very conscious of the presence of the Lord. Yes, our text tonight, it contains a great promise, a great word of encouragement for God's people. But it must also be stated and noted that this promise is conditional upon God's people themselves drawing near to God. For it says there, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. And my, if the Lord was to draw near to these believers to whom James was writing in his day, then they themselves had a responsibility to draw near to God. Again, Azariah, he reminded Asa of old of this same condition, of this same duty, in 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 2, when he said, "The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you." And my Azariah there was reminding Asa of his responsibility of drawing near to God, of seeking after the Lord in his heart and life and soul. Indeed, it was in light of this wonderful promise and indeed this solemn precept that Asaph also could say in the Psalms, "It is good for me to draw near to God." And in our Bible reading tonight, James really shows the believers of his day the pathway that they themselves must walk if they are to draw near to God, and if God is to draw near unto them. And people, it is that same pathway that I want us to look at and to consider briefly tonight before we get down to prayer. Notice first of all here with me that if the Christian is to draw near to God, then his life must be right before God. You notice again there how the Lord, or how James addresses these Christians there in verse number 8 of the chapter. He says, "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners." And we must ask the question, why did James call these New Testament believers sinners? The reason was they had begun to drift away from the Lord. And evidence of that is seen in them in verse 1 and verse 4 of the chapter. He says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members?" And then in verse 4 he says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?" There being that departure from the Lord. And that was evidence in this strife and in this friendship with the world, which was enmity against God. Therefore, whenever James says here, "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners," he was telling these Christians to put away strife, to put away the marks of the world, and indeed everything else in their life that was not right before the Lord. Notice what he says to them further there in verse 7 of the chapter. He says, "Resist the devil." In resisting the devil, they were to cleanse their hands, as it says there in verse 8, "Cleanse your hands." And the hands there speak of the actions of their outward life as believers in Christ. In other words, those wrong deeds in their lives as Christians were to be put away as they themselves were to draw near to God and were to know the Lord's nearness amongst them. And brethren and sisters in Christ, the same applies to you and I also. Yes, if we are to draw near to God, then God's word says to us, even in this passage, he says, "Cleanse your hands." In other words, anything in our life as Christians that is contrary to God must be put away. You remember what David said to God's people in the Psalm 37. He says, "Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." In other words, the Christian is to turn away from that which is evil and wrong in the sight of God. Yes, we live in a day when people belittle sin even in the life of God's people, but it is no light thing with God. Sin in our lives as believers is something that hinders our fellowship with the Lord. You remember what David said in Psalm 66, verse 13. He says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Again, in Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in the holy place? He that hath clean hands," and then it says, "and a pure heart." But the clean hands there speak of the outward life that is right in the sight of the Lord. And child of God, if you and I, yes, if we are to draw near to God, maintain our fellowship with the Lord, Then our words and deeds are our words and our deeds must be right in the sight of the Lord as God's people.
Yes, if the Christian is to draw near to God, their life must be right before God. But secondly, we can say further that if the Christian is to draw near to God, then his heart must be right before God. Look again at what James says here further on at the end of verse 8 of the chapter and then in verse 9. He says, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. In other words, James was saying here, if the outward life of these believers was to be right, then their heart must be right before the Lord. You notice here how James describes them as those who are double-minded. Again, at the beginning of this book, he says there, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And the reality was that these Christians to whom James now writes, they had a divided heart. And part of their heart and their affections lay with the world, and the other part was seeking to, as it were, follow after the Lord and the things of God. They were not like Caleb of old, of whom the Bible says he wholly followed the Lord. And in verse 9 here, James, he tells them to mourn and to grieve over this divided heart. He says, be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. In other words, he was telling them to put away their divided heart. He was telling them to be wholehearted in their devotion to Christ. This was to be vital if they were to draw near to God and know the Lord's nearness and fellowship with the Lord in their lives. And brethren and sisters in Christ, yes, the same applies to you and I also. If we are to draw near to God aright, then the Lord must have all our hearts. The Lord says in the book of Proverbs, he says, my son, he says, give me thine heart. And if the Lord is to have all our hearts, then we must forsake that which, as it were, divides our heart's affections and would take our heart's affections away from the Lord. Again, that was the very desire of the hymn writer, William Cowper of old, for he said, the dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. His desire was for a heart that was undivided in love and intention to Christ. That's how it must be with ourselves. And if our hearts are to be right with God, yes, we need to pray, even as David prayed, the psalmist. Turn with me in your Bible back to Psalm 86. Psalm 86 and the verse number 11. And look at how David prays here in this verse, Psalm 86 and verse number 11. He says, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. And look at what he prays at the very end of the verse. He says, Lord, unite my heart to fear thy name. David wanted to be wholehearted. He didn't want to have a divided heart. He wanted a heart that was united in following the Lord and the ways of the Lord. And that's something we need to pray day by day as God's people, that the Lord would unite our hearts to fear the name of the Lord. Yes, if the Christian is to draw near to God, his heart must be right before God. His life must be right before the Lord. But notice one final thing in here in this pathway to fellowship with the Lord. If the Christian is to draw near to God, then his will must be yielded to God. His will must be yielded to God. You look at what James says there at the beginning of verse 10 of James chapter 4, he says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Again, look at what he says in verse number 7 of the chapter. He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. In other words, if these Christians in James' day were to draw near to God, and God was to draw near to them, then their own wills must be yielded to God. As a subject yields to the king of the realm, their wills must be yielded to God's will. Their wills must be yielded to God's word. And child of God, the same applies to you and I also. Our wills must be yielded to God's will. to God's word, if we're to know sweet fellowship with God here on earth, here in this scene of time, we must humble our hearts before the Lord. That's how God wants us to live as Christians. Turn back to the book of Micah. Micah chapter number 6 and the verse number 8. It says there, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." And that speaks of being yielded to God, of being submitted to the Lord. You and I as believers, we are to submit ourselves to God as subjects, as his subjects. We are to yield ourselves to the Lord as his friends. Yes, the Lord says, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." And we are to yield ourselves out of love to Christ in light of what? My commandments. As Christians, yes, we are to submit our understanding to the Lord, to the truth of his word. We are to submit our wills to God's will. And we are to yield to the will of his precept. And we're to yield to the will of his providence for our lives. We are to yield to God. That's what it says here. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. It says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And this is all linked in. The fellowship with God, to drawing near to God. And can I say, dear believer, tonight, whenever you yield to God, whenever our wills bend to the will of God, Christian, you're following the greatest example of all, the example of Christ, your Savior, your Redeemer, who loved you, who gave himself for you. Turning your Bible back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. Here you read of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, in the Garden of Gethsemane, before He went to the cross, and he knew all that was lying before him, the cup of awful suffering, when the wrath of God would be poured out upon him. But notice how he yielded to the Father's will. Look at verse 39 of Matthew chapter 26. It says of Christ, and he went a little further and fell on his face. Notice the mark of his humility, and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He was yielded to the will of God. Turn over a little bit over to the book of Luke, Luke's Gospel, and to the chapter number 5, the chapter number 5. And again, you see it was the case here with Simon Peter. A yielding to the Lord. They had cast out their nets that cost nothing, but the Lord gave them a command. Look at verse 4 of Luke chapter 5. It says, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon," he says, "launch out into the deep and let down your nets for the draught." And then look at the response of Simon Peter, verse 5. "And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing." And Peter, bear in mind, was an experienced fisherman. He knew the Sea of Galilee. And he no doubt would have been disappointed to yield to the will of God. Look at the final statement there of verse 5. He says, "Nevertheless," praise God for the neverthelesses that you find in the scripture. "Nevertheless," he says, "at thy word, I will let down the net." He yielded to the will of God. He said, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Child of God, when you and I seek to yield to God's will, it's against the flesh. It's against the world, the spirit of this ungodly world. It's against really our old man within us as God's people. But remember this, Christian, when you yield by God's grace to God's word and God's will, you follow the example of Christ, the greatest of examples. And it is the pathway to God's blessing, to fellowship with the Lord in our lives. You see, whenever we yield to God, God himself will draw near to us. That's really the meaning of our text where it says, draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you whenever
we yield to God, whatever our lot in life is, we will know the presence of the Lord, the nearness of the Lord. The Lord will draw near. Turn with me back to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 23. John 14 and verse number 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, he says, if a man love me, he will keep my words. That speaks of being yielded to the Lord. And notice what he says. Notice the promise. He says, and my Father will love him. And look at this. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. The Lord drawing near. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit drawing near his people. He says, we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That speaks of the Lord drawing near. No matter what our lot in life is, when we yield to God, we know the sweetness of the Savior's nearness and the Savior's presence. And my, in yielding to God, yes, God will draw near. He'll bless us with a gracious sense of his presence. But notice something else here in the passage before us tonight. He'll lift us up. For look at the promise there of verse 10 of James chapter 4. It says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And notice the promise. And he shall lift you up. And this lifting up, yes, it means that God will lift us up out of sin and temptation. He can lift us up out of trouble. Or even in the trouble, he can lift up our spirits and give us great comfort and consolation in our trials and in our troubles. This lifting up means also that the Lord will honor us and honor our stand and our witness for him. Lift up our hearts in the ways of the Lord, that we might be enabled to live above this ungodly world and live above the world in sin and live for God's honor, God's glory in our lives day by day. And my, there are many examples in the Bible of self-abasement and divine exaltation. The Lord says, them that honor me, I will honor. But again, the greatest example is Christ in this matter. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Turn back to Philippians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9. Here you read of Christ. You read of his humility, his self-abasement. But you also read of his exaltation. Philippians 2 verses 8 and 9. It speaks of Christ and says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That was Christ going down low, the death of the cross, when the wrath of God was poured out upon him. It says, wherefore God also have highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. God lifted up his Son. He has exalted his Son, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And God's promise to his people is this, them that honor me, he says, I will honor. The Bible says, God, yes, will revive the spirit of the humble. He will lift up the spirits of his humble people. It says in the Psalms, he will hear the desire of the humble. The Lord will answer the prayers of his people who yield to him, who seek to walk in his ways. Oh, brethren and sisters in Christ, if we are to draw near to God and God draw near to us and lift us up in the ways of God, then we must humble ourselves before the Lord, yield to God's will. And my, day by day, may our prayer be as God's people in every choice, in every decision of life. Lord, not my will, but thy will be done in our lives as God's people. May the Lord bless his word and these remarks, may they be encouragement to our souls tonight, that we might know the Lord drawing near to us as his people. We're going to turn again in our hymn book to hymn number 412. 412. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, as it told thy love to me, but I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to him. That was the desire of the hymn writer, to know more of the Lord, more of his him, even after he was saved a long time. I know that we might know more of the Lord and be drawn closer to him in our lives day by day. 412 will stand as we sing.
as we sing. We'll just get down to our time of prayer. I just want to leave some prayer requests with you. Remember the services on the Lord's Day, and of course the anniversary meetings as well, coming up the following Sunday, the first Lord's Day of September. Reverend Foster preaching in the morning, Reverend Gray at night. Be much in prayer for these meetings. Make them known to all you can, to invite and encourage others in. Remember the Sunday School Youth Fellowship, children's meetings all commencing soon again in the will of the Lord once we hit September. Pray for the mission as well in October time. The Lord will prepare the ground, even the houses around the church here. What a mission field there is on our own doorstep. And pray that there might be a move of God even amongst people that live around the community. I've heard recently there of an unsaved lady. I don't know if she's ever been through here, but she spoke of hearing the singing in the church and was a witness to her. So pray that even through these things, God would speak to hearts in the immediate area. Remember our missionaries as well at home and abroad. Remember them in your prayers. Remember the Smith family there as they labour in Wales, and pray for our land and our nation, and of course the sick and the infirm connected with us here in the church, and others. Let us bring them before the Lord in prayer tonight. Encourage as many as possible to pray, to seek the Lord. Men and women, young and old alike, let us pray one with another, one for another, as the Lord would lead us in our meeting today. Maybe I'd ask our brother, Mr. Raymond Medill, to lead us off in prayer. Brother Raymond, and then our brother Keith Ferguson as well, and then one after the other, as the Lord would lead us in the time that is left. Brother Raymond, and then Keith. Thank you.